Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Glory to God, I'll tell you. Such a great spirit of love in here today. There was at 9:30, there is now. And, you know, most times I get up, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's such an incredible attitude of faith. And I know there is, but there's a spirit of love in here. And I know that it's just simple because God loves us. And we're singing and we're preaching and we're praying and we're attending and we're participating and there's people changing diapers and helping people park cars and do everything. Why? Because God loves us. And that's the big why. Man, I want to respond in kind, and I want all of God I can get. I don't want all the church calisthenics. I don't want all the tradition. I don't want the religion. I just want Jesus. I want him crucified. And no matter what we face then, it's not whether or not this is worth it. It's, oh, wait, the why is, man, I love God because he loved me first. I'm excited about being here. I'm appreciative of everybody that took their swings and had some at-bats in here and ministered throughout this week. We have such a deep bench in this church, I'm just telling you. I start gushing when I get like this, but I'll tell you, there's a tipping point that happens in our lives and in ministry and in the church, and we get to that tipping point. If we could get these guys to that tipping point, oh my gosh, it's all heaven breaks loose, and it's just incredible. Pastor Sandy and I went to Great Falls, Montana, and I did a men's conference and the weekend services and then a leadership luncheon that turned into as deep a dive into church as I've ever been in with Sandy. It's like, oh my gosh, I guess we're going there. Okay, here we go. And it was incredible. And I'll just tell you that there's no way we could do that to encourage churches, the places we go, without what God's doing here. And this church, and when I say a deep bench, I'm looking through this crowd. The DNA of this church is shocking to me. How strong it is. Just the battlers and the fighters and the warriors and the people in here. Because Jesus said, "Look, in this world, you're gonna have tribulation. Don't flinch. Don't duck. Don't turn. Don't tuck tail and run. Be of good cheer." Everybody say, "Be of good cheer." He said, "Because I've overcome the world." And that's who is in us right now. It really is. And we have to understand that. Man, we have to stop tempering the zeal that's in us. What the word says is the zeal for my Father's house has consumed me. And I get the statistics and I get all the research and I get the science that most people that are committed to church today go to church 1.3 times a month, and it's like, okay, we gotta figure out how to pastor people 1.3 times a month. We gotta figure out how to keep people on track. But I'm just telling you, man, to be those who've turned the world upside down, man, it's gonna require a little deeper commission and the commitment level. It's got to be a place where you've entered a room where there's no exits. That the zeal for our Father's house has consumed us. You know, I believe that every one of your dreams can factor through the local church. I believe that's God's heart. I believe that what we build here, the next steps, and not just next steps on this journey and on this path we're on, it's next steps, it's next rungs of the ladder. It's elevating your life. It's you going from kindergarten, elementary school, to grammar school, to junior high, to high school, to college, to do postgraduate. See, some of you guys are there, and let me just tell you, man, we've got a responsibility as a church to continue to provide rungs to that ladder. The rungs are sure. But what we don't want is we don't want to wake up one day and realize that, man, we've got this incredibly high ladder, but we're on the wrong wall. I mean, we've got to understand the why. We've got to understand that what we do is not who we are. Man, you might be in here and you're a doctor or you're a lawyer or you're a salesman. Man, some of you guys might be here and you might be stay-at-home moms. People say to you, man, what do you do? Well, I'm just a mom. Do you understand if you're just a mom that you have 2.5 full-time jobs? That's what the equivalent of being a mom is? Oh my gosh, I'd love to tell you that, oh, I could do that easy. I'm telling you right now, I need some help. Man, I look at what God's doing in your life, and man, sometimes, and today it's hard because sometimes I want to reach in and I want to tear your heart out, and I want to show it to you and say, look at what there's something that's great on the inside of you. Man, there's something in you that is more precious, more valuable than anything on this earth. But the outside, we're earthen vessels. We're jars of clay. We're clay pots. Man, you guys look at me. Man, I get close enough. It's hard. It's cracks and chips and miscuts. And it's like, wait a second. I thought you were bigger than that. I thought you were better than that. I thought it'd be different than this. And it's like, no, because what I carry isn't what you see. What I carry is who's in me. What I do is not who I am. My identity isn't derived from how many likes I get or followers that I have or how big our church is. Or that's not my identity. My identity, yeah, I love people getting saved. That's not my identity. Man, my identity is who's on the inside of me. My identity is, here's what Paul wrote in Colossians 3:23. He said this, whatever you do, and I know this is going to be an extreme statement, and you may not go to this extreme. I personally don't believe God cares what you do. And I know some of you black and white people and organized people and administrative people, that probably bothers you. But if you decide you want to be a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer or a welder or a plumber, or you want to start a business, I believe that what God's heart is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as of unto the Lord and not unto men. Everybody say it, not unto men. Say it again. Say it one more time. Because everything about our society now, it's all about what people think of you and what people like and what people want to follow and what trends are and what group you fit in and what side of the political spectrum that you're on. Man, yesterday we were in one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been to, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We woke up in the morning, it was 40 degrees. Man, I went to a rodeo the night before and I had jeans and G-jacket. I was with my people. Man, I was in my element and I was shivering. It was so cold. And it's the end of June and I'm thinking, this is crazy. But you know what? Man, we're driving to the airport and we stopped and we got some breakfast in Jackson, Wyoming. And there's a group of people on one corner and a group of people on the other corner. And they're holding up signs and they're chanting. And I'm looking at them thinking, you guys, this has gotten ridiculous. I'm just believing God, the church never gets to this point. See, everything about the likes and the followers and what men think, it's all divisive and it tears us apart. Man, whatever you do, do it heartily as of unto the Lord. Whatever you do, and not unto men. Man, Paul even says, man, you can please God or you can please men. You can't do both. I know that I'm supposed to be, there's a Reader's Digest version of messages that tickle your ears is what the Bible says. And then there's the truth. And what does the truth do? The truth cuts. The truth is offensive. Because there's no fulfillment in me identifying with my profession or my vocation or what I'm trained to do or what I'm good at doing, where my talent is. There's no fulfillment in that. Man, there's only a fulfillment in me serving the Lord. You know, man, raising godly kids for you guys that are just stay-at-home moms is monumentally fulfilling. I can't think of anything else. Man, that my children are serving God, that my children are here at church today, that my children want to be here, that Kennedy, we're flying home and she's upset she wanted to fly home earlier because she wanted to get to camp for the last night. Man, it's not just gratifying. Let me just tell you, that's fulfilling. And see, we've got to look at our lives, and we got to understand that. And we got to understand too that the deception of the enemy to believers is that there's no path to success in where you are. Paul even said, look around. There's not many noble among us. Yeah, you know what? We're the ones that operate in a visual sensei serious, sincere world where there's no wax, where we're not trying to cover up cracks and miscuts and chips. Man, what makes the church appealing are the miscuts and the cracks and the chips that are in people's lives. You know, honestly, what we need to be the best in the world at is where people can come in here and visit and think, dear God, if they can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. Man, there's no extreme talent. We're not overly skilled. Man, the key is we show up every single day. See, that's what commitment is. Commitment, my working definition of commitment is you've entered a room with no exits. Pastor Sandy's the most committed person I've ever met. See, when you look at it, what's that going to do? Is that going to bring fulfillment? No, in and of itself, it's not going to. But you commit to the right thing. Now listen, and the right principles, and Jesus is at the center of it. Absolutely, it's fulfilling. Absolutely. Man, are you in a dead-end career? I say no. Doesn't matter what you do. You do it heartily as of unto the Lord. Whatever you do, that's what Paul said. Man, we don't get our identity from what we do. See, and that's got to be the big key of our lives. In Matthew 20, verse 16, Jesus said this, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now listen, the last being first, and the first being last. See, from the beginning of all this, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything's repetitive. And you know, there's people say, well, anything that's going to be invented, anything that's going to be cured already has been. Well, no, we all know that's wrong. We all know that things are continually and consistently changing. Many are called, but few are chosen. All of us are called to the God kind of life. And hopefully that's in bold. It is. It's bolded on your notes. The God kind of life, but few choose it. A fool's right in his own eyes. I want to live my own life. I want to make my own decisions. There's no fulfillment in that. Do you understand that? This life is not an individual sport. This life requires a team. The Bible says we're members of his body, but listen, where every joint supplies. If you're lacking supply in your life, it's because of what you're joined with. The right joints, overwhelming supply. Choosing and trusting the God kind of life launches our life, listen, from last to first. Man, there's people in business, there's people in athletics, there's people in medicine, there's all kinds of people that use the principles and have the philosophy without Jesus, and guess what? Man, they jump up, but there's no fulfillment in that. I don't want to be first without Jesus. I don't want to be the best without God, because there's no fulfillment in it. Man, we might say, well, what are we in this for? We're in this for championships. That's why we play the game, for championships. Great. But then you win all the championships, and when it's all over, what happens? Man, if I would give all those trophies up and all those rings up if I could just have the camaraderie that I had in that locker room or on that sideline or on that field. If I could just play one more game. Why? Because all of that without God is not fulfilling. The fulfillment of our life is God's first in our life, no matter what. The fulfillment of our life is every step that I take, I'm taking a step in toward, into, and about the God kind of life. The life that there's no parallel. Man, do you have a losing attitude in life? Do you think that you don't win? You just can't win. You can't get ahead. You're going to live a life of month to month. You're going to live hand to mouth. All that can change today. Yeah, other people win. I get it. But I'm not confident in my position in life. Let me just tell you, who you're standing with, who lives on the inside of you, is all that matters. See, when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, a lot of times it'll appear like all hell will break loose. But you know what? If we remain confident in the work that God's done on the inside of us, we win no matter what. No matter what. You know, it's interesting because you think about the children of Israel. They sent out the Israeli army, but ahead of them, the Bible says they sent out minstrels. They didn't even say musicians. A couple places. One place it said minstrels. I'm thinking, okay, they're sending the musicians and the minstrels ahead of the fighters. And by the time the fighters got there, all the enemy was scattered and left all their stuff. So all the warriors had to do. Now, please listen and parallel this with your life, the life of God in Christ for you, is we send the praise out in front, the praise ahead. And you know what? When we're walking in, we're not having to put up our dukes. We're just having to take in all the spoils. See, that's the victory that we have in Jesus. That's the type and shadow of what our life is. But if we've got the mentality that singing and that praise to God and the worship that we have isn't enough, or what's it really going to do? Man, let me just tell you, that's incredible deception. In Deuteronomy, God says this, "See, I've set before you today life and death. Life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments." Now listen, "that you may live and multiply." Everybody write that down in your notes. Put that in your phone. Live and multiply. Live and multiply. Because what the world wants to offer you is to live and add. See, we live by addition in the world. We come to the kingdom now, we live by multiplication. That's how God works. Why? Because what God's way is God's way is for us not just to add, but to reproduce. And when we reproduce, there's people right now, you're sitting in Tulsa, there's people sitting in Sepulpa, there's people sitting in Skytook. In September, there'll be people sitting downtown at the Mayo Hotel. What are we doing? We're just reproducing. What are we reproducing? We're not just adding people, we're reproducing our DNA. We're reproducing our victory. We're reproducing our triumph. We're reproducing no matter what you face, you have it in you to be able to overcome. See, every promise that God gives his children, every single one, it's all attached to us overcoming. His love is unconditional. His promises are all conditional. And the same condition is on every promise to he who overcomes. So you know what your life is? You're like, "Oh, pastor, but I'm tired of fighting. Oh, pastor, I'm tired of having to go through this." No, you can't. You can't have that negative losing mindset. You already have the mindset, no matter what I face, I overcome. I'm overcoming today. What is it? Is it cancer? I overcome. What's gonna try to hit your life? Is it bankruptcy? I overcome. I'm losing my job. I'm in a dead-end career. My family is being torn apart. Let me just tell you this. You got to pick a better path. Because let me tell you, if you're raising kids today, they're just following you. If you don't like the product of their life, let me tell you something. They learned that behavior. See, they were born with two basic fears. So if your kid's got 20 fears, 18 of them they had to learn. See, we've got to understand that that's how our life is too. Man, if you're like, "Well, I don't want to go, I'm not going to church, it's raining." You know what? That opens the door for your kid not to go to church for whatever. See, we've got to understand this. I'm not trying to lay a trip on you. I'm just telling you that you could do the math. That should be the title of this message, probably, "Do the Math." Is your life about adding, or is your life, listen, about living and multiplying? I'm telling you, I want my life about multiplying. How about you? See, we add, we reproduce, and we multiply. How do we multiply? We reproduce. See, that's what discipling is. That's what disciples do. See, this is not discipling people. This gets us to the door of discipleship. We step into that door where it's one-on-one, where you're discipling her and she's discipling her and she's discipling him. See, that's how this line upon line and precept upon precept happens, where it's disciples making disciples. Otherwise, what we end up calling ministry is what's popular and what's trendy. And let me just tell you, if you don't think the church is following the trends of the world, I've got a rude awakening for you. And that's not God's way. We're not taking the same path that the world takes. We don't have to have all the likes and all the followers. We just have to make disciples. We have to disciple and disciple and disciple. And you know what that takes? That takes decisions. That takes difficult discussions, conversations, where it's not just the Greek way of communicating, where I'm preaching to you and I'm talking to you and you guys are all in straight lines, but the Jewish way of communicating, where it's in a circle, where somebody says, here's what you do, and you say, show me. Because if I see it in here, I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to do it because you told me to. That's a form of parenting, because I told you so. And it works a little bit. But see, we have to understand there's repercussions. It's decisions we make. It's conversations that we have. Got to talk to people about Jesus. That's how you find out what you know. It's like, oh my gosh, this is what's in me. And you know, greater's in he who's in me than he who's in the world. Then it takes discipline. I'll tell you, discipline I hate. Sandy can tell you, I hate to make my bed. I hate to do the dishes. I hate it. I realized the first 20 years I was married, we've been married 34 years, the first 20 years I was married, the only time I did dishes was when, Sandy? When company was there, when people were at the house. I'd be over doing the dishes. Where's this go? What the heck is this? Sandy said, that's a cookie sheet. I'm like, we had cookies? Where the heck does this go? I've lived in that house for 15 years. I don't know where the cookie sheets go, but I'm doing the dishes because people are around. But I think that's how a lot of times we live our lives as Christians. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live like this because you're around. So you know what? Let's figure it out. Let's do the math. If I'm going to do the right thing because people are around and I'm going to have discipline because the people are around, I better be around those people a lot. Why? Because it's decisions, discussions, disciplines. And then we get to the, shoot, why do we have to add this one? The sacrifice. The living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Man, but it boils down to what fulfills you. Making money fulfills me. Bet it doesn't. What fulfills you? Man, winning championships fulfills me. No, we got a world champion right here in the front row, and guess what? They're not talking about that anymore. We are. What are they talking about? This next year that's coming up. They're getting things ready. That next win. Why? Because just winning alone and championships alone don't bring fulfillment. See, our fulfillment comes in whatever we do it heartily as of unto the Lord. And the last verse there in Deuteronomy that I was reading, it said that we live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land. Now listen. That you go to possess. It's one of the few places. He's not just blessing you where you are. He's blessing you where you go to possess. And listen, where's the fulfillment now? It's not that you just add to the equation. It's that you live and multiply. You go and possess. You live and multiply. You go and possess. See, there's an amazing call that's on your life. There really is. When you go places, let me tell you something. There's not like this illumination about you, but people notice you. And it's not just because you have a man-sized beard. But I was over there during the music. I was looking over there, and I thought, oh, my gosh, how in the world do we awaken him to what's on the inside of him? So remember, I want to reach in. I want to tear your heart out, and I want to show you how incredible, how invaluable. The world has to have what's in here. But you know what? Without God's word, we never find out what's in here. And how do we get God's word? Is we have to be in his house. See, that's how this works. We can get it on our own. We can read it on our own. We could get it. But let me just tell you, you need this until you become a teacher or an instructor. When you're ready to instruct this, that's when you can go out and you can get it on your own. But until now, that's what Paul said. How long do I have to do this before you begin to do the instruction and you start teaching? You've got so much word in you. You do. How old are you? I've known you 10 years and you're 23. You've got so much word in you. Oh, but you've got excuses and you want to make explanations. And you know what? You've got to decide. And here's what Paul said. Paul said, you got to step out from among them. See, and that's what our sanctification has. You know, some of you guys were raised Baptist and some of you guys were Assembly of God. So sanctification is this moving target, but it's really not. Sanctification just simply means to be set apart. And that's what none of us want. None of our flesh wants us to be set apart. I don't want to be the example. I don't want to be the one where my 22-year-old daughter says, Daddy, you can't talk like that. You're a pastor. Oh, really? But I want to. I got a point I want to make. But Daddy, that doesn't glorify God. See, I'm thankful for what God's doing in our lives, but not nearly as thankful as when we wake up as a people to what fulfills us. Isn't what we do. Isn't even how we do it. It's who we do it for. It's easy for me to say, I'm doing this for God. It's easy for me to say, oh, I'm doing this for you. But all those words fall flat without the whole picture being, I live my life heartily as if unto the Lord. Because none of us can escape his hand, his view. We can't escape what he hears. We can't escape his presence. I can't escape his love. So why try? Because in all of that is where my fulfillment's derived. And that's when I truly live and then multiply. Man, if I gave you the secret to multiplying in your life, I'm telling you, we could sell memberships. We could sell subscriptions. You would get as much of it as you could. You'd walk across burning embers to get there. And I've got it for you, free of charge. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His glorious hope for mankind. See, what everyone's leaving out on the different street corners holding signs is Christ in you. That's what people are going to be attached to. That's what people want to notice in you. There's something about you. There's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it. Oh, the fruit of his life, it's Christ in him. God, we love you and we praise you. God, I thank you for this time. God, if this was just me and you, I'd go another hour. I'd get other input. But God, the persuasive side of it, we're trusting you with, God. God, I thank you that by your Spirit, you persuade every person in this place to posture their soul and position their life to get all of you they can get every single day, God, in every way. God, I pray for the young people that are in this church in Sepulpa and Skytook and Tulsa, people watching online. God, I thank you today God, that those sheep are fed, those lambs are tended to, those lambs are fed. And God, I thank you that these lambs in here lay with the lion. God, I thank you, you fill every person with your Holy Spirit. God, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, all of you that they can get, God. God, I pray for people whose lives aren't right with you.